And this Wednesday morning, it is time now for Addiction, Mental Health, and the Law, a program which is presented by the Clearfield County District Attorney. And on today's program, we are glad to welcome back with us Scott Rendos of the Community Guidance Center. And Wendy Wenzel is also here this morning. Good morning to both of you. It's great having you here, and we're a little more than a month away from the start of school, but the start of school is the exact topic that we're going to be talking about today, and some of the anxiety and stress that goes along with that. Now, for some kids and parents, it's an easy transition. It's one that they look forward to, but with others, there's a little bit of nervousness and some tension that can be created whenever the kids are getting ready to head back to school. So, Scott, we're going to start with you. Could you tell us about some of the common emotional or behavioral signs that a child may be anxious or very stressed about returning to school?
Some of the emotional signs may include like fear, nervousness. Children may be expressing feelings of scared or worried about returning back to the school. They may also show some irritability and sadness. They're more easily frustrated, upset, or withdrawn than usual. There's also a difficulty concentrating. Anxiety and stress can make it hard for kids to focus on schoolwork or other tasks or getting themselves ready. Some of the behavioral concerns that we kind of see with kids getting ready to return back to school, like the avoidance. This could like display as refusing to get ready for school, complaining about illness to stay home, or actively like kind of resisting and fighting their parents to go to school. We might see increased clinginess. Kids kind of more attached to their parents or caregivers and wanting to be near them, or needing constant reassurance that things are going to be okay. We may also see like changes in sleep, appetite. Anxiety does disrupt like sleep patterns, can lead to difficulty falling asleep, nightmares, or waking up frequently. They almost might not eat. Or they may overeat. That's some of those things that we kind of look at. The kids may show some withdrawal symptoms. They're more isolating themselves from friends, family, or showing decreased interest in activities that they usually enjoy. The aggression and anger. Some kids may have that aggression that they're acting out towards their parents or towards other children because they don't know how to express that in an appropriate way. At times, we can kind of see kids like regress in how they're acting. Like kids that are like 8, 9, 10 start to act like little toddlers, like 3 or 4 year old, because they're unsure of what's going on. We may see some bedwetting or using that baby talk, as I kind of indicated. Even kind of those difficulty transitioning with getting ready to go back to school, getting back in that routine. They're actively fighting that. Sometimes it's physical symptoms, headaches, stomach aches. These are common for kids struggling to go back to school. Fatigue is the other one. Anxiety can be exhausting, leading to complaints of feeling tired or lacking energy. Maybe even dizziness or rapid heartbeat, like even difficulty breathing due to their anxiety about returning back to school.
Sure. Now, of course, you know, we mentioned that it's still a month away, a little more than a month before the kids do have to head back to school. So it would be a good time, I suppose, to begin some routines and to ease into those routines. So could we hear of some strategies which would help kids ease back into those school routines after their long summer break?
Absolutely. I think it's important to have like a strategy with getting them to bed earlier, like maybe start 15 to 30 minutes every few days of gradually moving that up. And also the wake up time as well, having that same strategy of having your kids wake up 15 to 30 minutes earlier every day. And then the meal times, maybe introducing some regular meal and snack times that align with the school schedule would be important.
Sure.
Screening time, like gradually decrease screen time before going to bed and during the day to replace it with other activities would be helpful for the kiddos to be ready to go back to school. Establishing some routines, like morning routine, creating a visual schedule with pictures will help your kids understand the steps that are involved in getting ready for school. Having an established evening routine, such as a consistent bedtime routine that includes some winding down activities like reading or taking a bath. And having a homework routine, designate a quiet and organized space for homework and establish a consistent time for completing assignments that they may need to do. Having a positive mindset and communication, talk about school. Engage in positive conversations about school. Focus on fun aspects like seeing friends, making new friends, learning new things, or participating in some extracurricular activities. And also talk to them about the anxieties that they may have, such as listening to any concerns or anxieties your child might have about returning to school, and offer some support and some reassurance that it's normal. Celebrate the first week. Plan a special activity with them, such as like going out to celebrate the start of the school year and acknowledge the efforts in adjusting to a new routine. And being involved in preparing, such as school supplies. Mm. Involve your child in shopping for and organizing their school supplies. Making it fun and a collaborative activity, so doing things together. Meet the classmates if possible. Arrange some play dates and meetups. That might be helpful for kids to get back to acclimating to school. And do a dry run, like how the morning routine, a few days before school starts, including like packing a lunch, maybe the drop-off process. That would help relieve some anxieties that they have about going back to school. And also instilling some healthy habits like sleep. Encourage your child to get enough sleep by maintaining a consistent sleep schedule and creating a relaxing bedtime environment for them. Pack some healthy lunches and snacks to ensure your child is eating regular and having nutritious meals. And exercise. Encourage physical activities, both indoors and outdoors, to help them stay active and manage the stress that they may feel about going back to school.
Hmm. Sounds like a great plan. Today on Addiction, Mental Health, and the Law, we are talking about the mental and emotional preparation for kids and for parents as we approach back to school time here in just a little more than a month. Wendy Wenzel and Scott Rendos from the Community Guidance Center are with us today. And let's turn a little corner and talk about being able to discern the difference between what would be just normal back to school jitters, which I think everybody mm-hmm. experiences to some degree, but something that might be a little more serious, like real anxiety or even depression. Could you kind of draw out the differences for us, Scott?
While some nervousness is typical around back to school season, parents can kind of start to look at what's normal jitters and what's more of a serious anxiety or depression by kind of like watching their kids, seeing like how long that these episodes are kind of going on. Normal back to school jitters, mild to moderate anxiety and excitement about going to school. This is very common. Usually resolves within the first few weeks of school. And it kind of like begins to go away with those routines. When those routines are implemented, there's less unknowns for kids, so their anxiety begins to subside. It's only when we see some more persistent symptoms, if anxiety or depression kind of symptoms continue into the fourth or fifth week of school and don't improve with time or routine adjustments, it might be time to kind of seek some help. If it's interfering with their daily lives, if we see these kids struggling in their academics, relationships, enjoyment of life, or family routines, that's another indication that it's worsening. And if we see the symptoms worsen, if we see a child begin to regress back and all their symptomology and all the behaviors and emotions are getting worse, that might be another indication that something else is going on. Mm-hmm. Significant changes in behavior and mood, like looking for sudden declines in like school performance, loss of interest in activities, withdrawal from like friends and family, and changing in kind of the sleep and eating, as kind of Wendy talked about earlier. We talked about those physical complaints. If out of the blue they're starting to have body aches or headaches, stomach aches, fatigue. Some of the bigger ones are like that hopelessness and worthless feelings that individuals have. Even kind of like if they begin to talk about like that death and suicide is some serious significant issues, that things aren't those back to school jitters. It might be something more pervasive in their life. When to kind of seek that professional help is the persistent or worsening anxiety. If it's not resolving itself, if it's getting worse, we want to get these kids the help that they need. I know we're mental health and law, if the kids are starting to not go to school, mm-hmm. right? Like those truancy issues become a little bit more prevalent.
Right.
So we want to kind of like make sure these kids are getting the education that they need. Or if we see some of those serious symptoms, as I talked about, like those thoughts of suicide, those helplessness, that sure. worthlessness, we want to get these kids the help. But there are school resources. We have to look at that. The teachers, school counselors can kind of provide those valuable supports and guidance for these kids. Even talking to the pediatricians. A child's doctor can help determine the next steps, including like maybe a referral. Child psychologists or therapists are good avenues. They can help your child kind of develop some of these coping skills. Life is stressful. We have to kind of learn how to best deal with that in the best way we know how and what works for us. And then if we do see things getting worse, like there's always crisis to reach out to kind of resolve some of those more serious situations.
So the key, obviously, would be to stay observant, stay aware of what's going on in those situations. Wendy, let's talk a little more about the physical role, the role of sleep, the role of nutrition and screen time. How does that all play into supporting a child's mental well-being while this transition is taking place?
Yes, it's important for children to have adequate sleep, nutritious food, and mindful screen time. They're crucial for supporting a child's mental well-being during these transitions. These factors directly impact brain development, mood regulation, and overall emotional stability. Studies show that sleep deprivation can impair cognitive function and mood, while poor nutrition can affect brain development and emotional regulation. So an excessive screen time, especially before bed, can disrupt sleep patterns and potentially lead to mental health issues. So the impact of sleep and having sufficient sleep is vital to brain development, memory consolidation, and mood regulation. Sleep deprivation can negatively impact cognitive function, attention, and emotional stability, which can lead to that increased in irritability, anxiety, and depression. And that's what we talked about earlier, is like making sure they have that transition to having a sleep schedule before the school year starts, to have that set up a couple weeks ahead of time. And nutrition, the impact that, you know, having proper nutrition provides the building blocks for brain development and helps regulate the mood as well. Having a balanced diet rich in essential nutrients provides the brain function that you want and the emotional stability. And then also transition support, like ensuring children have access to nutritious meals and snacks during transitions, can help stabilize their mood and provide the energy needed to cope with stress and change. And screen time, that's important with the technology that we have today. So the impact that this the screen time, like excessive screening time with technology can, especially during before bed, can disrupt sleep patterns due to the blue light exposure, which can lead to sleep disturbances and potential mental health issues. Social media, the use of social media with its potential for comparison and pressure. There's a lot of pressure for kids with the social media. And this can also negatively impact self-esteem and increase the stress levels that they feel. Mm-hmm. And it's important to have interconnectedness. These factors that are interconnected, the screen time, the sleep, the nutrition, it's all interconnected. So those three factors can lead to a vicious cycle. Mm-hmm.
Very interesting and important to pay attention to that. Now, we talked about at the start that back to school season isn't just always stressful for the kids. It can be tough on parents too, especially for those that are maybe saying goodbye to their kids for the very first time heading off to school. So what advice do you have for the adults as they manage their own anxiety or feelings of being overwhelmed?
Back to school season can trigger a lot of anxiety and overwhelm for parents. To manage this, like prioritizing some self-care, like connect with some of the other parents that your kids are friends with. Don't hesitate to kind of seek help when you need it. It's a hectic time, filled with new routines, new schedules, challenges. Just kind of acknowledging that there will be some stress and anxiety with kids going back to school. Even kind of like recognizing, like, okay, what am I feeling, mm-hmm. right? Like, if we're looking at these situations with the parent stress, is this stress? Is this anxiety? Am I worried about my child going to school, mm-hmm. right? There's a lot of new parents sending their kids off to school. Is my kid going to be okay, right? Having those feelings. Making sure you're taking care of your own needs. Sometimes we get so wrapped up that we neglect ourselves. We forget to eat. We're so worried about everyone else feeding and eating that we begin to not take care of ourselves. Even seeking support. Like, there's times that we don't have that transition, like making sure that we reach out to those friends, those coworkers, that professional help that might be able to help us. Even kind of focusing on some of the positives that are going on. Remind yourself that this is kind of an exciting aspect for your kids' development. Like, be happy that they are able to go to class, like making new friends, new learning opportunities, kind of like celebrating that growth that your children are having. Even kind of creating a plan, develop kind of like your own way how you're going to manage specific stressors, like school mornings or the homework time. Involving the kids in this process can make it a collaborative effort, so they understand their roles in that as well. Remember to take a breath, right?
Just breathe.
Feeling overwhelmed, take a moment to pause and take a breath.
Sure.
We get all wrapped up and we fail to take that into consideration. Deep breaths can help regulate your own emotions and kind of calm some of the internal like anxiety that you're having. Remember some of your strengths. Recognize that you're capable of navigating back to school. You're not alone.
Sure.
There are resources available to help people.
Right. We're heading into our final 4 minutes of today's Addiction, Mental Health, and the Law. Talking today with Wendy Wenzel and Scott Rendos of the Community Guidance Center, and a very timely topic, because in a little more than a month, it's going to be back to school time. And that can be a stressful time for the kids, but also for the parents. And we're talking about the adults right now. Let me ask this as we start to wrap things up. How can parents stay emotionally regulated and model some healthy coping during what can be a potentially chaotic time?
And I think it's important during the chaotic times, it's crucial for parents to prioritize their emotional well-being and healthy coping mechanisms for their children. Being a model for your children and how you manage stress is going to be helpful for them to learn how to manage the stressors. So by prioritizing your own emotional regulation, acknowledging your feelings, it's okay to experience difficult emotions like stress, anger, or sadness during challenging times, but recognizing these feelings and not judging what you're feeling. It's important to practice self-compassion. Be kind to yourself when you struggle with emotional regulation. Remember, difficult times are challenging for everyone. It's important to utilize some calming techniques, like deep breathing, mindfulness, or grounding techniques can help you calm your nervous system and bring you back to the present moment. And model these healthy coping mechanisms for children. Verbalize what you're feeling. Like, for instance, saying, I'm feeling frustrated, so I'm going to take a few deep breaths to calm down. Show, don't tell. Children learn the best by observing actions, demonstrating healthy ways of managing emotions through behavior. You're going to be that model for your child. Creating a stable and in supportive environment, such as establishing routines. Consistent routines provide a sense of security for children during uncertain times. Communicate openly and honestly. Talk to children about what's going on, what's happening, in an age-appropriate manner, and validate their feelings and address their concerns. Spend some quality time together. Dedicate a time for fun activities that strengthens family bonds and that provides a sense of connection, which is important. Nurture optimism and resilience. Focus on the positive aspects of life. Share stories of overcoming challenges that you've had to overcome and encourage a growth mindset. And it's important to remember it's a continuous process and perfection is not expected. And there's always ways to reach out for help if you need it.
Absolutely. And we appreciate all the helpful tips that have been offered on today's program. Scott, we just have about a minute left. In that minute, could you share any thoughts that you really want to impress on the listeners today? And then also be sure to let us know how they can get in touch with you at the Community Guidance Center.
Some of the most important things are developing those routines, as we kind of talked about earlier, both for you and your child, making sure like we're establishing what's in our best interest and how to kind of foster that growth, not only with your child, but within yourself. I mean, this is a difficult time. I mean, kids have been off school. Like, there's not much structure that's going on. But when we implement that in our own life, it can kind of make it easier. That's some of the more important things to think of. I mean, if you're seeing you're struggling or your kid is struggling, there is the professional help. Like, that's what our company is all about.
Sure.
If people want to reach out and get those services, by all means, I mean, they can contact us at our Dubois office or Clearfield office. I mean, we're in both of these areas to kind of help foster some improvements with people's lives.
Okay. Scott, thank you so much. Wendy, thank you.
Thank you.
It was great having both of you with us this morning on Addiction, Mental Health, and the Law, presented by the Clearfield County District Attorney.